morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, to the shores and the shores beyond the shores. This is the one little bastion of truth radio still left on the planet Earth, along with other shows on this network, that we can espouse to look over the great, great game that's going on in the mind control wars, one up a little bit for the good guys and the propaganda and deceits that are just plastered around the world. You must remember me. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund, with you again. As we see this week unfold, you know, it reminded me of a great saying by Winston Churchill. And in the modern era, of course, we can increase the speed dramatically. But he said, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put its pants on. And with the speed of the internet and other mass communication, satellite technology, that lie can get around the world dozens of times before the truth can even attempt to put its pants on. And that's just the nature of the beast now. And it's just so difficult when everything and everyone is leaping to conclusions about things. And I find it, you know, difficult being raised in what was supposed to be a free nation, or what we thought was a free nation, much like yours. You know, I always thought that these truths that we held self-evident were very important. And of course, one of the most important truths was the presumption of innocence. And that's just gone out the window, probably in the post 9/11 world. 9/11 was probably the just weapon of mass destruction to destroy the presumption of innocence, where the media just herds us all like in a giant stampede without any rationale purpose except to take us off a cliff, to espouse a story or a dialogue that has never been tested, is just at best hearsay evidence, or in many cases, like in the newspapers and media, double hearsay evidence. Somebody is alleged to tell somebody that told the reporter, that told you, and it's not put up to any sort of cross-examination. That's just not allowed. It's forbidden. No one dares question whatever fearless leader we have. We're generally fearless and hide away from the great unwashed like us, because they could not begin to deal with us in open debate about many of facts and circumstances that are presented before our eyes. And that is just absolutely a terrible state of affairs. It's not the world or country I was born into, and it's not particularly one I'd like to leave behind for the generations that follow me. And that's pretty much why I scream from the rooftops on whatever venue I can find, and this is one of the greatest ones, because not only do we espouse free speech, but we're sincerely looking for the truth. We're not looking to, you know, get some sort of agenda propagandized into your mind to lead you down a false trail. When we come up with new and better evidence on something, we'll present it. And even if that forces me to change all my deeply held beliefs that I held before, I'm quite willing to do that, because I'm looking for the truth. And some of us say that, you know, we believe in Jesus, and he said the truth would set us free. So ultimately, looking for this truth is a path to freedom, not just for me or anyone else, but for everyone. It's something we can universally share, that we found great truths and we shared it amongst ourselves. But there's another power, another force that would prefer that we can't have that truth. And it's very clearly obvious who that other side is when they prevent us from asking questions or looking into any sort of information with an open mind. If we have a closed mind and we're prisoners of the dialectic, whatever is created by the mass media corporations, we are slaves, all of us. There's an old saying from, you know, one great philosopher, there's no greater slave than the one who thinks he's free. Because we live with the illusion, because it's been repeated in the echo chamber, that we have freedom. But if we can't challenge any orthodoxy, we're back into something that would be akin to the Dark Ages or something, where we would have an Inquisition, where people would be penalized severely for just asking a question, challenging the authority of whatever authority exists. And all through history, there's been governments that have waged basically war on their their people and all people by controlling thought and opinion, and whatever is said by fearless leader is gospel, and it's not. So it's very obvious whose side they're on. They're on the other side, the side of evil. You know, I look at it from a biblical perspective as we have the tree of life, carbon-based life, us, God-created life, the Eden life, and we have the tree of knowledge, the silicon-based life, the Satan life, the Lucifer light-bearer life, that just eschews nothing but lies, so that everything has to be a lie. And then we remember the CIA director, William Colby, saying, "We'll know our disinformation campaign is complete when everything the American people believe, and of course, ergo the world, is a lie." So when the truths are presented by these powerful forces, political, economic, media, the first thing that comes into my mind is, in this Orwellian nirvana the CIA director talked about, it must be a lie, and that I must open my mind and look at evidence, all the evidence. We think we have a system of checks and balances where we would go before an impartial judge or court and look at anything, put it up to the test, examine it, using hopefully Plato's laws of logic, looking for inconsistencies, to discern the viability of these truths. And we don't get that. We just get, it's printed in the newspaper, it's said on the radio, it's presented on the TV, that this is it, hard and fast, no questions, no thoughts, no thinking. Robots, just continue your work to support the system. And I find that deeply disturbing, mostly because as a young boy, my grandfather was very, very keen on the fact. One of the most important rules he had, you know, there's the don't cross the street without looking both ways, don't go away with strangers. But his big third one was think for yourself, because he understood very, very well these battles in his generation in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s to basically turn our minds into some sort of jello where we're spoon-fed something that may be good and it may not be good. We analyze our food and we're concerned about additives that could be put in there or whether it's nutritious. We would be concerned about a big black cloud in the sky with noxious poisons to breathe. Water that smells or has some terrible color consistency that doesn't mean it's water. We would be very concerned about that, and we would prefer not to put it into our bodies or ingest it in any way. But when we're presented this media and these thoughts and opinions from the great powers, we just ingest it blindly. So I look at it almost as a viral, like a computer, because our minds are biological computers, that we're being fed something like ransomware, that this information gets into our brains, and if we accept it, then our willpower is ransomed to them. And in fact, really, there isn't even a way for us to pay the ransom to get free, except one little simple counterattack is to turn it off. That was the great line in the movie Network. And if you haven't seen the movie Network, that is probably the most, if I was dictator, every child in school, that would be your film study project, the movie Network. The vast dominion of dollars speech, how we're ruled by the monolithic powers of money, regardless of any sort of right or wrong, it's just money. That's very, very important. And the other big one was when Howard Beale goes, turn it off, right in the middle of the sentence I'm speaking to you, turn it off. Referring to the television. And in the movie, he's one of the, top performers in television. I mentioned the late, great Canadian Marshall McLuhan, who was, basically the scientist in all this, educating the heads of the major media corporations with the alphabet soup logos and governments, including presidents of the United States, on the power of basically mind control, because what happens is anything that you see, hear, or read outside of phonetics can be instantly taken into your philosophies just like a virus going into your computer. One of the great sayings that Marshall McLuhan had was, to educate means to produce immunity against a television. And how important that is. How important. And that's where Howard Beale comes in to say, turn it off. I don't watch television. I do like to look into things that may be prevalent in today's society, stories or information that may have a deep meaning or some historical significance. I like those kind of TV shows, and I like a lot of the old ones from the 60s because they deal with the issues we live in today, where they were openly revealed to the public. One that is just phenomenal to me is the original Star Trek series, dealing with the science fiction, perhaps, because they say Gene Roddenberry really attended meetings with whatever the secret power in Area 51 is and knew the agendas and revealed them in fiction. But they may not be as fictitious as you think they are. Maybe they were warning signs of what we have to watch out for, planting little seeds on us so when we see them develop in real time, real life, that we have a warning. One of the other great ones I like is the first episodes of Mission Impossible. They deal with all these issues we face today. One of the most classic episodes to me is how they make propaganda film. It's called Action. And it is just a textbook from beginning to end on how you can film a reality, present it to the public as a reality, to make a reality. So basically, that's the Vietnam War era. They're filming American troops committing atrocities. And the Mission Impossible team are able to infiltrate the studio, climb into the ceiling, and photograph it from above. So when they present this film later, with carts full of bodies that are really mannequins and such like that, and actors and squib loads and all this sort of thing, and film this and present it to some sort of international jurisdiction or media to look at these atrocities, well, then Mission Impossible team puts the end where they show the film from the top, and you can hear the directors, producers, and orchestrators of this film speak reality that it's fake. And that is probably another one that every child in America and around the world should see and be familiar with. But we have our generational gaps where we're prejudiced to the things that are in our time, and we almost refuse or become very resistant to things that were from times before. And I'd always tell my children when they were young, how do you talk to a dead person? It's a one-way conversation, but you read the things they wrote. You listen to the things they said, because they're leaving you basically a time capsule of things they've learned in their life. All the dirty tricks that we live in today, they've experienced them before, and the generation before, and before, and before, and before. And if we look over their words and read their words and understand their words, we become very wise, and we can't be tricked into the latest manifestation of some of these things, because it's all around us. One of the other great quotes from Marshall McLuhan was, we live invested in an electric information environment that is quite as imperceptible to us as water is to fish. So that is quite true. These ideas are put in your mind easily. There's great institutions that study this, the Tavistock Institute in London, England, probably one of the greatest. Sigmund Freud's statue is outside because he was a master of these things. The danger of knowledge of the mind and how it works is it can be used as a great tool to heal, to cure, to benefit people. But understanding how it works can also be a tool used by a force that isn't benevolent to change your behavior, alter your behavior, and turn you into something that you absolutely had no idea you wanted to be. Popularly, the easiest way to describe that is like the Manchurian Candidate. And that's old stuff. That's a long time ago. And we still get sucked into this sort of thing. So in evidence, if we look over historical evidence of the world and how it operated, governments, organizations, they aren't led by the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. they're generally ruled by relatively devious, if not outright despotic, individuals. That is very, very common. And it's something that we have to clear first. It's like I was trained in policing, and when you're going to look at witnesses or evidence, like, you have to go over it a little bit to say, is it credible or not? And when you look at the past history of certain organizations or people that are providing evidence, their history is very, very clouded, especially nation states. Because in the 20th century, according to a book, Death by State, and I believe it was written by a University of Hawaii professor, is very, very clear. 169 million and a few hundred thousand people were killed by their own governments, and he documents it all out. And sometimes we call these things genocides, sometimes we don't. But the bottom line is, that's one of the cold, hard realities of life. And in the modern era we hear, and in the past eras too, we always hear this mantra over and over again, only the police and the military should have arms. But in these various eras, by these various countries, they did have the arms. And what did they do with them? Well, it was nothing too pleasant. So almost the worst day you could ever imagine in many crime scenarios is really very small by number compared to what the state does when it misuses its powers. Because that's the reason why some of the amendments to the, well, never mind, some, all of the amendments to the American Constitution at the beginning were put there, was to protect you should the day ever arise that a despotic person or group of persons takes over the reins of power, that you have these self-evident things at your disposal, these rights, these freedoms, because ultimately, even though they don't tell us anymore, you are the government. And that's probably one of the biggest lies you learn in the civics classes all over the world, is governments are the executive, the parliaments, congresses, elected representatives, and the courts, that there's only three. They leave out the most important fact is the people, we the people, you're the government. And we sort of contract out the responsibility and duties of government to these other groups for the simple reason is we the people doing it is almost akin to like a mob rule. It's very destructive, really, overall, because it would be like a pure democracy, which is tyranny of the majority. So it's not the best system, but ultimately we're the government. And we're edited out of the equation and taught to edit ourselves out of the equation and to beg our leaders to edit us out of the equation, so that basically we return to serfdom, where it all started out from in the first place. When we look at the old, old history, that's what we were. We were slaves and serfs. The right to vote was something that came after many, many long, arduous centuries of struggle. And at the first level in England, it was just for the elites. You had to be a property owner to vote. And then it expanded to more and more and more and more, so that everyone who is legitimately in their various countries can vote. And that is a marvelous thing, except for the evil codicil. They manipulate the ability to vote. The old Marxist axiom is, he who casts the ballot means nothing. He who counts the ballots means everything. And that's why frequently we're in the soup we're in, because they do a lot of weird counting with these ballots. And the only way to get around that, of course, is to ensure that we have a safe, equitable system. And look out to be on guard. Like in Canada, we have a motto for our national anthem, we stand on guard for thee. Nobody does. Everybody's asleep or smoking dope or drunk or following sports. If you could come together with a busload of people that are truly, sincerely standing on guard, you'd be doing pretty good, I think. So I've committed myself to at least attempt to stand on guard and share it with everyone so that we cannot be taken down this path of totalitarianism. My forefathers went through this. I spent a lot of time with the generations before me, my grandfathers, and listened to their stories about the horrors of what happened in their lifetimes, whether it be economic collapse, warfare, and just outright evil. It just made one realize we got to stand up and think for ourselves and speak for ourselves and challenge and analyze information. And when we find it sound, purvey it to others and share it. And if it is unsound, then put on the helmet and prepare for some trouble, because it may be on the way. Marshall McLuhan also said, World War III is a guerrilla information war with no division between military and civilian participation. Tell me we're not in the midst of this World War III, because this seems to be the battlefield, that we're on the front lines of some type of war to control the human mind. I want your mind to be liberated and free, that you never, ever, ever have to worry about that someone's trying to subvert you to some sort of purpose, whether you understand it or not, that isn't in your best interest. If I had one wish or prayer to be answered, it would be that we are free in thought. That is probably more important than anything. And by having that freedom, of course, we will find that truth. And if we find that truth, we will all be set free. And what greater gift can be bestowed upon human beings than to have that? Arthur Schopenhauer, another great philosopher, said, all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed, and I'm sure many of you who have stumbled along the path of truth have experienced that firsthand, so don't feel bad about it. That's the first step. The second step, which is quite obvious right now, is it is violently opposed. So anyone who tries to speak the truth or show the truth is put down, shunned, laughed at, scoffed at, maybe even beaten in the streets. So we're in the second step. The third step, it is accepted as being self-evident, because ultimately the truth will survive all the stresses and strains of the logic test. And it can't be denied anymore when it is that obvious. So there is something to look forward to. There is a hope, a light at the end of the tunnel, and it isn't the train. It's the power of our nation. And this is the place to be. And on our next segment, we're going to have Stephanie Sledge with her new book, and we'll rock the boat as best we can for life, liberty, and a state. Thanks for coming out. I'm George Freund. This is Power Our Nation.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores are love to eat. If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. Joining us today, Stephanie Sledge from the Government Rag. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. Sounds like victory. There's no greater victory than Calvary, no greater Calvary than the Power Hour Calvary. We're forming posse, and we're going into the news and views and the assaults on basically your mind to control anything and everything that you do, say, think, and try to get us off the track where we all become robots to some sort of system that we do not concur with and do not understand. Having training and experience in a lot of these things, like, I just find it repugnant for me to use these skills to try to entrap someone, ensnare someone, cheat someone, defraud someone, or anything like that. It was just abhorrent to me. And that's why it's part of the reason why I can't really work for the system. You know, sometimes people say, oh, why don't you get this job with the government or something? Like, you make all this money and you got this and you got that. And I just look at it and say, well, I'd probably have to give up my dignity, and there'd be, you know, that big brother hand on your shoulder to say, you can't say this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't say that, and you have to conform and all these other things. And I'm going, like, that's a big price to pay, and it's not worth really any kind of money. So, you know, I have to work harder for less. I can hold my head up high with self-respect to say I didn't have to be part of the beast system that's coming in. I had the guts and the wherewithal to say not just no, but hell no to hell. We don't want this. You know, there used to be a time, maybe some of you are old enough to remember George Carlin. He's on the internet. He's dead now, but he had a, you know, a comedic routine. It's rather vulgar, so we can't really get into it here except just to call it what it was. It was called The Seven Words You Can't Say on Television. And they were all swear words, of course. But guess what? You probably can say all those words on television now. And now there's new words you can't say on television. But they're more the words that you would use in ordinary discourse from time before. And you see this perhaps in some of these media companies like YouTube and such, cleansing the internet of conservative opinions or something like that. Oh, you know, hello? We have freedom of speech. And even if you're an idiot, I'd rather that an idiot has a forum to have freedom of speech than not, because I know what the results are of not. And it doesn't take too long when you listen to an idiot to realize, you know, I think that one just has a couple of screws that weren't tightened enough. And you know to be your own censor and to move where you think it is best. That's a great system. It really is, especially when we look at this horrible, horrible mess of basically various sorts of mass crimes that instantly captivate the whole world and have to change everything that's held dear or sacred anywhere at any time. And I was trained in terrorism when I was a peace officer with Canadian military intelligence, and you know, I saw a lot of this stuff. It's a beginning level stuff, but even at the beginning level, great class to be in too. A teacher comes in with a big bag full of stuff, you know, rocket propelled grenades, AK-47s, all kinds of guns, and this or that. You're a young man. It's like, oh wow, party time, and you know, so you think, oh, this is a great class. But once you get into the meat of the matter and you see how you're being steered to be grease for the wheel, then you start to wonder, who are these terrorists? What's going on? So even at the time, I was very naive. I didn't know about Operation Gladio and some of these other things that were around. But when we did a training course on some kind, it was a movie they played, and there was some kind of terrorist like Carlos the Jackal, and he was running around, I believe, New York City, mass killer of some sort or another, and he's fleeing, and you're chasing him. So it's almost like you're going through a shooting scenario training. And this guy runs to the subway doors open, he's ready to get on the subway train, they stop the movie, and then everyone in the class is asked, okay, shoot or don't shoot? Well, everyone except one or two guys that were kind of weird said, no, don't shoot, because the subway car is loaded with people. And the instructor tells us that's the wrong answer. And you're going like, huh? What do you mean it's the wrong answer? The guy's standing in a crowd of people, and you open fire, even if you hit him, the bullets may go through him and kill innocent people. And so that didn't sit well with me, but his explanation was, and this shows you pretty much the dementedness of the state, is that it's better that you kill a bunch of innocent people to stop this person who's going to kill a whole lot more people, so they say. And when you do the arithmetic at the end, if you killed 5 and he killed 50, then it's a better world. And I said, I want to live in a world where nobody kills anybody. And then I started to think, turn on the little gray matter and say, why do they want us to kill this guy at all costs? Well, I think we know the answer. And I think our guest knows the answer. And I think she's written about answers like that in her lifetime and many, many more, is they don't ever want him to be questioned or be available to be questioned, even though they control the killer, terrorists, or whatever's location, medication, and everything else. They don't ever want us to get inside that head and find out how it really got to be the way it is, even at the expense of killing a lot of people around him. And that's when I started to realize it's getting time for me to leave the reservation and get out of serving the beast, because that just didn't sit well with me. And there's probably a lot of other people who are in military or intelligence or the police that, you know, you get this stuff shoved down your throat too, and you just swallow it. But I believe in a good book, and I believe in the good Lord. And ultimately, when we have to make big, big, big decisions, I like to be on that side, even if it's a side of persecution and difficulty. It's a much better side. So Stephanie Sledge has put together a great book, A Citizen's Journalist Exposure of Sandy Hook, where she's looking at the military industrial complex and things they do. And that's the fundamental thing of Operation Gladio. An Italian prime minister released these highly classified documents in Operation Gladio. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's history. And BBC did 2.5 hours of programming on that, that's still online, in one of their top news documentary shows back in the 90s. It is well worth watching to hear it revealed by one of the top news services in the world that this happens, and this is how it happens. It didn't fall off the trail. And then there's another great documentary out as well called NATO's Private Armies, and it deals with two specific, as I recall, the most biggest one in it is a German incident where the German government put a bomb at a park and blew it up at the entrance to this park, and this man had his two children die in his arms, and he fought tooth and nail for 10 or 12 years to finally get the facts available on what really happened that day in that park. And they interview him in this video and all the troubles he went through. One of the other big Operation Gladio ones was they went into a supermarket in Brussels, Belgium, soldiers with guns, and shot a whole bunch of people. And this isn't part of the dialectic. This isn't part of the information flow. This is left out, even though it's openly acknowledged, written in many books, scholarly type books, in released classified materials from governments, openly discussed by politicians years ago, and now it's just dried up and disappeared and not part of the conversation. So in light of all that, we have to look at all the evidence and the histories before we start making our rash judgments. And that's where Stephanie is a saint in that regard, because she has the ability and capacity to do that and put it in well-spoken words. Welcome aboard, Stephanie. We're glad to have you here at Power Hour Nation.
Well, thank you, George, and I'm very grateful that you invited me back on, and I'm happy to be on the Power Hour.
Indeed, there's places to go, and then there's places to go, but in this nation, there are no borders. Everyone's welcome. We only look for one thing. What's going on? So what's the basis for this book to get you started into it, and what is eek and ground shaking that we're not going to have heard anywhere else?
Well, first of all, I'll start out that it's been almost 7 years now since the Sandy Hook shooting happened, and we all know that that was in Connecticut, and 7 years has passed, will be anyway, in December. And so for the past 7 years, Sandy Hook has been a very touchy subject. In fact, a lot of alternative media, a lot of researchers have silenced themselves against even speaking about Sandy Hook. And what I did was I have kept researching Sandy Hook from day one. And I've taken other researchers' evidence. I was able to dig a lot deeper, considering that I physically investigated the Tucson shooting, which happened a year before that. And so I was able to put together a deeper, deeper sinister plot, far greater than just gun confiscation. And so I am going to reveal that in my new book. And, you know, it basically... I basically put out, you know, my findings and put out a lot of different types of specialties and research as far as what I've done in the book, and am able to give the public domain a greater understanding of this central evil plot against America and, you know, more than America, actually. You talked about the world being fed a lie, and that is definitely true. And there are far greater repercussions for Americans because of this lie that, you know, people can ever foresee. I mean, repercussions that our founding fathers warned, you know, that if the people didn't recognize that this evil would be lurking in the background, you know, waiting for the perfect moment to take away, to swipe away our freedoms and our God-given rights in the Constitution, that, you know, we would be facing, you know, this time, and we are facing this time.
Oh, indeed. You know, I wear it like a dirty shirt many times because, you know, we're all part of this information war. So, you know, some of the business things I've used have been in the United States, and you just see this cold, cold hand of censorship. And my media account that I use for posting videos was in California, Vimeo. And, you know, the last couple of years have just been like fingernails on a blackboard in dealing with these people. And when I do a recording, you know, I can't embed links on their website. I can just put the, you know, the content. But on my own website is everything I say is backed up with credible links everywhere, from books, scholars, newspaper accounts, other media accounts. So I'm not pulling anything out of my hat or making anything up. It's just all there, hard and fast. and I just put it into a conclusion that seems to be the most logical conclusion based on the evidence. I look at evidence as a compass, and it takes you where it goes. It doesn't take you to where you want to go. And a lot of people don't want us to go anywhere. They just want us to stay in a little prison cell of thought. And, you know, so I was very disappointed about that, ganging up on you just for something to do. And but I had a feeling, an inkling coming along that this was going to happen. So the good thing they did for me is, because I'm not a great video editor, things to be pure, and so I never used to edit anything. I did later, but as I developed some of those skills to make it a little more palatable and such like that. But, you know, I didn't want to tamper with anything so that it looks as real as it was when I said it. But I was able to download my shows, and it compressed my file for me. And I always had a hard time with video compression. So I got them in nice little stuff, like when I used to do it at that channel when it was professionally produced and all that kind of stuff. So it makes it far easier to upload in other places, and there are other places. And if you've got to leave, you know, the domestic businesses and go somewhere else, maybe people haven't heard of some other companies. There's one in Pakistan called Tune.pk, and you could probably put all kinds of great videos up there. Tons of them in Russia. I don't speak Russian, but, you know, one that I come across was OK.ru. And, you know, you could probably go into places like that to find other media formats. There's even a Chinese version of YouTube that would probably allow way more free speech than you're going to see in the United States right at this time. And, you know, so that's ironic. I could just never get by the Chinese characters to happily open an account. I should have dug somebody up to, you know, help me with the language so that I hit the right button at the right time and got it, because it looks just like YouTube and is posted just like YouTube, and then I could embed it places. But this is what we're up against, and this is this information war, and it's one we better win, because I would prefer sometimes that, you know, maybe the ones who speak the loudest are correct, then I could go play with my dog in the forest, and I could just rest. But that's not the case, unfortunately. It's not the case at all. And I know you've run into some of the same circumstances with, you know, things that you've done. And, you know, as you say in your synopsis of your book, how far will the infiltrated enemies go to make sure they have their day in history? And quite a ways, I'm sure. So you were talking a lot about military things. I believe it was the Navy. And such like that, that they were, you know, whole hog involved in various aspects of these types of operations. Could you elaborate on that somehow?
Yes, I do. In this book, I do explain how the medical establishment is deeply involved in these alleged shootings that take place, like Sandy Hook and others, and how it is very deeply connected to our own Navy and a deeper path, including surgeons. And there's a lot of continued research into, I explain about the super soldier projects, the technologies that were acquired behind the scenes due to these shootings, like cryogenetics, the power, blowing more power into the psychological research that the military needs, and how they have taken these shootings and they have listed, you know, guns as a public health crisis. And so what I do in this book is I explain the deeper side of who is actually behind these false flag shootings and why Connecticut was actually chosen to perform this particular shooting. And I go into great detail on what happened before, during, and after the shooting, and how, you know, our military has gained and how the Navy has gained. Most particularly, if anybody is listening that has followed my research into the Tucson shooting, the Navy was also very deeply involved in that as well. Trading, being able to trade technology for warships. And I explain that and how it continued through the Sandy Hook process. And so behind the scenes of these shootings, I mean, we're being told, you know, up front through the media and, you know, the regular articles that come out from what I consider the lying media is, you know, that it's all put up that, you know, these shootings, you know, we've got to have more mental health and we've got to have more legislation, you know, and this and that. But behind the scenes, our own military is gaining from these mass shootings, as well as during the Obama administration. The Obama administration grew, during the Obama administration, our country grew in the service industry. And that service industry was mostly the medical establishment and also, you know, the police state, EMS workers, firefighters, militarizing, you know, the aspects of all of that. And so these shootings have a greater evil plot against Americans. But, you know, we're just being told that, you know, that there's crazy people are just running around and shooting people randomly, and we got to have more mental health, and we need to have, you know, laws, you know, that are spying on people, and you report, turn in your neighbors, you know, anybody at all. But really what it is they're seeking out, you know, who knows what, and, you know, they are needing to shut that down immediately because it's exposing the deeper sinister plot, which includes, you know, our own military, and also, you know, they're more than FEMA drills. I mean, this goes way deep into DARPA, what they need these shootings for, and why it's a public health crisis. And, you know, where if you follow the money, you can actually see who and what are gaining from these particular shootings.
Oh, indeed. You know, when we talk about the Navy, we have to put everything into perspective, you know, because probably one of the greatest things that's ever been discussed, of course, is the assassination of President Kennedy. And, of course, you know where he was, Bethesda Naval Hospital. And they completely obliterated the proper, true, and original autopsy reports. And, you know, we've discussed that on Kennedy shows in the past. I don't have that information on my fingertips, but, you know, the doctor who did it supposed to have burned, you know, his original copy in a fireplace and at his home and presented copied notes, which basically means they were changed to suit the circumstances that were decided on to be the circumstances. And this is all pretty much open and discussed in books for almost as long as I've been alive. And, you know, there's nothing new under the sun there. And then one of the other, you know, great tragedies that happened at Bethesda Naval Hospital was probably the outright murder of James Forrestal, the Secretary of the Navy. And they said he was nuts. They locked him up in the presidential suite. And he was under a lot of pressure, to be sure, back in those days. But I was very fortunate one time. I look at, you know, God is just, you know, sometimes he really opens a door for me to find books and research material from time to time, and I just have to basically say it's a miracle. And this one was too. I'd forgotten about a church book sale in town. And then at the last minute, I went like, oh, the book sale. I forgot all about it. And I had to drive, like, you know, 15 minutes to get to town. I'm just getting there as they're closing up and starting to pack stuff up. And the lady just says, oh, just rummage around, you know, find what you can and, you know, come back and settle with me. And I'll, like, zip through quickly as they're hauling away the boxes. And I found an old edition of Forrestal's Death in Bethesda Naval Hospital. Blew me away. It's just loaded with newspaper accounts from the time, which are the firsthand evidence available to you. And the most amazing thing that got me was he was to be released the next day. His family got a court injunction to have him released. That evening, he's supposed to have jumped out the window and committed suicide. But in the newspaper report, it said there were scratch marks all over the window frame. Well, usually when you jump, you just jump. You know, you get scratch marks on the window frame when you're not consenting to being pushed out the window. And that just pretty much nailed it down right then and there. When you look at the facts impassionately without the propaganda to say this evidence doesn't fit what they say, that he was most likely murdered, and this crime was committed at the hands of what we may call today the deep state. And the big scandals in his day were Admiral Byrd going to Antarctica, his claims in South American newspaper reports that there were flying objects going from pole to pole in very quick order, and that he described them as UFOs and things like that. So many, many things were on the plate. And being a secretary, he knew all these things. And something was happening so severe that it shook him to his very roots that he could hardly form sentences, and they took him away in a straitjacket. And it's got to be good, because he was alive in World War II, dealing with all the crises that happened then. And as I've learned later, there was probably a lot of things in this thing I call the War of the Multiverse, or this hidden force that's controlling all governments, politicians, companies, agencies, and trying to gain dominion over this whole Earth Eden that we live in, whatever it is. And that this war is on. It's been on for a long, 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 long time. And here at the Power Hour, we're able to give you some of the play-by-play. And it's far more important than any football game, baseball game, or pop culture concert, let me tell you. Anyway, I'm George Freund. With us today, Stephanie Sledge, Power Hour Nation, the place to be. Glad you're aboard. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Thanks for coming out.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using carnivora, because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY.